ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। निष्पादितास् च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर् क्रीणालुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मा सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितं च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। निष्पादितश्च कृष्णिना भगवद्गीर्घ्नानुभिः सदुचिष्टं हि मे सर्वम् आत्मना सह किं ददे। Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Poet Charananda in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Word for word. Nishpadita cha. Also the order is properly carried out. Karshnina. In full. Bhagavad Bhi. By the representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrinalubhi, by the most compassionate, Sadhu Uchishtama, remnants of foodstuffs of saintly persons. He certainly may mind Sarvam, everything, Atmana, heart and soul, Shaha, with him, what that day shall give. Message. My dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something, but all I possess are the remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give? Please repeat. My dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something. But all I possess are the remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give? The word Sadhu-chishtam is significant in this verse. Prithu Maharaja got his kingdom from great saintly persons like Prithu and others, just as one gets remnants of food. After the death of King Vena, the whole world was bereft of a popular ruler. There were many catastrophes occurring that the great saintly persons, headed by Prithu, created the body of King Prithu out of the body of his dead father, King Vena. Since King Prithu was thus offered the kingdom by virtue of the mercy of great saintly persons, he did not want to divide his kingdom among saints like the Kumaras. When a father is eating food, he may, out of compassion, offer the remnants of food to his son, although such food may be already chewed by the father, it cannot be offered to the father again. Prithu Maharaja's position was something like this. Whatever he possessed had already been chewed, and therefore he could not offer it to the Kumaras. Indirectly, however, he offered everything he possessed to the Kumaras, and consequently they utilized his possessions in whatever way they liked. The next verse clarifies this matter. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. Sadhu Uchishtam is the significant in this verse, Srila Prabhupada says. So generally, Uchistam, generally it means untouchable, something that is untouchable, remnants. So generally you don't need remnants of someone else instead of untouchable. But here, Sadhu Uchistam. If the sadhu takes it, then that what is normally considered not very pure, that becomes a great relish for logic for the devotees. Sadhu Uchistam. You can get the remnants of food substituted by the devotees. It becomes a great benediction, but ordinary people, you wouldn't eat ordinary people's food. It's considered contaminated. So here, by the potency of the pure devotees, saliva. Your devotees are always chanting the names of Krishna with that Krishna on their tongue. So to get that remnants of that directly experiencing Krishna by the Mahaprasada of the devotees. So here, your Prithu Maharaj is saying, it's my duty to offer you, but what can I give you? Because Everything I've got is actually the property of the Brahmanas. I was created from the body of King Vena, that they shunned his body. So by the mercy of the great Brahmanas, then Pitu is existing. So, and they appointed him the kingdom because they wanted a king. But it's their property. The Brahmanas have everything. He was just using everything in the service as a king for the citizens. But it was the Brahmanas' property. So he's saying, how can I offer back, which is already been, it's the Brahmanas' property anyway. How can I give it back again? It wouldn't be proper. Just as you wouldn't offer juice, the father may offer to the son, the example, the father may offer some juice out of affection for his child. You wouldn't offer that juice up again to the father. So this is the example that's been given here. In short, Prashadam, how can I offer it back to you? But that's all I've got. I haven't got anything else. What can I offer? It was an instance in Vrindavan when the devotees were used to maintain Prabhupada's rooms there in the Radha Damodar temple. And it was established during Prabhupada's time, he said you should maintain these rooms, and some worship was going on of Prabhupada. So they were cooked for Rajasham and Krishna Balaram in the temple in Vrindavan, and they would take a chicken down to Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada's rooms, and they would offer Prabhupada Raj Bhog every day. It was part of their worship. So they offered it one day of Gaudamuni Maharaj and Padmaloji. Prabhupada went then. And then Gaudamuni said, let's go back and get to Prabhupada. They took them off a shelf. So they had offered there. They went back to Prabhupada's room, went in Prabhupada's room, said, Prabhupada, here, you take them off a shelf from your rooms in Radha Damodar. Prabhupada said, I don't take prasadam twice. Go Krishna. So here, talking of compassion, ask you first this, and how compassionate the Lord is. And so here he's saying, dear Brahmanas, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are as compassionate as the Lord himself. You may remember that when Vishnu appeared at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Pitu, then he instructed him, and he said, later on the Kumaras will be graced by the Kumaras. But that was the benediction he gave, so now the Kumaras have appeared. So Pitu is saying, you've carried out the order thoroughly because you're as compassionate as the Lord. So they had that. That order came from the Lord. So they appeared here later on in the before Maharaj Pitu, so he could actually see these eternally liberated souls, the four Kumaras. And but why they are coming out of compassion? They carried out the order of the Lord, so they're doing their duty properly. But it's more than duty to the Lord, but it's actually, they have the compassion, as the Lord is compassionate, so the devotees have great compassion for all the Lord. And so you see the Kumaras, they're coming and they're always giving such transcendental knowledge. These great speakers, they're always in big assemblies. You read in the Krishna book or somewhere like that, whether it's a big assembly, the Kumaras are there, they're always. Actually, they're always around the Lord, glorifying the Lord, the different features of the Lord. It appears they can expand themselves also. Sometimes they're on the ocean of milk, they're surrounding the Lord, and different forms of the Lord's appearing. But they always appear to be there. And any great meetings, they're always there. Generally, they're called upon because of their vast knowledge. So they're giving Dipyugyan transcendental knowledge to bring the people out of the material world with their knowledge to take them back to Godhead. So it's the great compassion of these four Kumaras who voluntarily choose to keep themselves as small boys and just travel around more or less for the benefit of the whole world, not so much for themselves. So this is the a real Vaishnava. Vaishnava doesn't live for himself, he lives for others. But these Kumaras are examples of this. So many times they just appear and they're instructing so many personalities and traveling throughout the whole universe. So this is, we see this in the life of any great acharya generally. They all preach, they traveled a lot and preached. Ramanuja Acharya, Madhava Acharya, they were all great preachers. And constant traveling, because if you don't travel, you can only preach to your village or your city. But they're concerned with the whole world, so they travel all over the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he traveled extensively. Just after he took sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed the example. The moment he took sannyas, that was it, he was traveling for 6 years at least. Bhaktisiddhanta took sannyas, immediately he went traveling all around India. Prabhupada was constantly traveling, he never stayed in one place. For very long. And so this is the mercy of the traveling great saints. I mean, probably we met our Guru Maharaj just because he come to our city or our town or something like that. Most people, I guess. Or at least they were traveling somewhere. They just popped up at that place where he met them. So this is the compassion. They travel around and they enlighten the whole world. Give them real knowledge. And so the Kumaras are their eternally liberating personalities. When they talk of moksha dharma, dharma moksha, and representing moksha is the Kumaras and Shukadeva Goswami. Because they were desirous of moksha. Was in the womb. Inside or outside, what's the difference? I'm better to stay inside. I'm liberated inside or outside, it's a bit more problem, but better stay inside the womb. It's perceived as interested in moksha, but then he had Dr. Kram, then he came out. Started to travel and preach. Kumaras also, they were probably up there in Siddhaloka or something like that. They were always speaking, transcendental knowledge of moksha, how to get out of the material world. That was their speciality. But then one day, Vishnu's over there, the local Vaikuntha Loka. Shall we go and see him? What does it matter? We're here or we're there? We're self-satisfied up our arms. It doesn't really matter where we go. Anyway, they went for a picnic. See, poor Lord Vishnu there, but it really doesn't matter where we are because we're self-satisfied wherever we are. But then they went and they saw Vishnu there. They smelled that tulsi leaf and everything on his feet and chandan. What is this? You know, we're getting more pleasure from our senses than our atmarama. We are fixed in the self. We're fully satisfied, but we're getting more satisfaction. Beautiful aroma and coming from Krishna's lotus feet. So then they became bhaktas. They saw the superiority of bhakti, of devotion. Previously they were mokshas, they were after moksha. So they're represented like in the system of karma, dharma, moksha. They're represented through moksha. If people transcendental knowledge specifically to get them out of this material world. But now they preach bhakti. Yes, go back to God, get out of the material world, go back. By the process of bhakti. Not simply being self-satisfied, because aparama means partial. The atman is only part and parcel of God. Being atman self-satisfied means there's no real bhakti there yet. You're satisfied in yourself. Bhakti comes when there is an exchange. So these are the greatest of these Kumara, the universal traveler. And so they travel anywhere at will. And so they have this potency. The Prabhupada also has potency. He said, I didn't show much magic, did I? Except by picking you all up and saving you from cycle of birth and death. That's my magic. The P.C. Sarkar, a great magician in India, his son or grandson, 10 years old, is also a magician. He's pulling flowers out of Prabhupada's ear, things like that. Another magician doing tricks. Prabhupada was laughing. The devotees didn't like it much because Prabhupada was like the stooge, as you say. But he was doing all these magic tricks and laughing, and they put out funny revenues. And Prabhupada was laughing. The devotees were a little bit. Anyway, then after that, then Prabhupada said, you know how to stop the cycle of birth and death? That's like I said, no. No, Swami, that I do not know. He said, that is my magic. I can say these things on the better. One time he said, Dr. Takamara spoke, he said, Prabhupada was saying, you know that these yogis, he said, they take a dip in their, in the tree, maybe somewhere, or in the Alalabad, the confluence said. He said, they come up in the Ganga, or the Kuveri. He said, this is their dismissing power. They take a dip in one place and they come up in another sacred. He said, it's true, it's the true, I've seen. And Jack Dagmar said, what does that mean? If he's seen, it means he must have been here and he must have seen him there also. So he said, Prabhupada also had that seen. Otherwise, now he's saying, I have seen. They took part in Ganga and come up in Kuveri. He must have been there. But Prabhupada didn't show so much. But anyway, this is the potency of the devotees, they can travel. But there's a story from Bhakti Naranjana Thakur also. He was out on the universal japa wall around the universe. This story was told by Bhakti Siddhanta Shakyamuni. He was on the japa wall, universal japa wall. And there was Yamaraj and Lord Shiva having a discussion. Now, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that even if a person has committed the most terrible activities, he should be considered a sadhu. Sadhu. He should still be considered a sadhu because he is still fixing devotional service. The next verse, he says, very quickly he becomes righteous, dharmic. A cleric called you, son of Kunti, my devotees will never perish. So their question was, first Krishna says he should be considered a sadhu if he's engaged in devotion. Even if he's committed most of honorable activity, he's engaged in devotion, he should be considered a sadhu. Next verse, he said, very quickly he becomes righteous, which means dharmic. Sadhu means transcendentalist, beyond. Dharmic means still within the modes of material nature. So he said, how does this seem like a contradiction? First Krishna saying he should be considered a sadhu, and the next verse he said he should be considered safety, dharmic. So they couldn't answer the question. Oh, it's the Vaishnava, they're learned, let's ask him. But they call Bhakti Notaku. Having a universal chapel hall. We had this question. But he told him, asked him the question. He said, oh yeah. He said, yes, that person should be considered saintly because he's right being established. He's engaged in devotional service, so constitution he's fixed perfectly, so he should be considered saintly. And then the other one, then he should be considered dharmic. Bhagavati, yes, that dharmic is talking, not talking about the sadhu, he's talking about the person who may criticize the sadhu. Why he fell down? Why he's fallen down? Person commit, he falls down to the platform of dharma. He's very quickly he'll become righteous again. But because he criticized the sadhu, he'll fall down from his transcendental position. But he at least his dharma is the devotee. And he'll come back again by his dharmic activities. Very quickly he'll be reassigned. So this Vaishnava doesn't know everything. They got answer for everything. Even Yamaraj. The idea is that these devotees, the universal, they can go around, but their only aim is preaching and glorifying the Lord. Not any pleasure excursion. I mean, if we could fly in the sky like they're doing Siddhaloka and go, planet. That would be a great achievement. Everybody would really want that. If there wasn't any austerity involved, like materialistic people, that would be something fantastic. They can't do austerity, so they can't get it. But it seems like a great achievement. But the Kumaras, it's just to use it in devotional service. You go to this place and preach, and you go to this place and preach. So this is the how compassionate the great devotees are. And Krishna is. And actually Prabhupada said here, he's giving a lecture here in Mayapur. And he said, my Guru Maharaj, he's talking about Nitya Siddha, and gave the example about the sun rises at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sets in the evening at 6 o'clock, and 12 o'clock is overhead. But for someone in the world, someone seeing the sun at 6 o'clock, someone seeing it at 12 o'clock, someone seeing the sun setting. Someone's always seeing the sun at, like now the sun is just rising at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Someone in the world is always seeing the sun at 8 o'clock. When it's 9 o'clock here, somewhere else in the world, someone is 8 o'clock and they're seeing the sun. So at every stage, the 24 hours, someone can see the sun of Bhakti. Although it's one, he said this is a material example, but it gives the idea of Nitya Siddha. So he said, my Guru Maharaj also, he said he came into this world for a purpose. And he said to spread Krishna consciousness. And when it was time, he went to another place, he said to do exactly the same thing, to spread Krishna consciousness. And many of his disciples considered he went to Chandraloka. He indicated. He was walking on this road, like it's another road he had built. And with some of his disciples, Pati Rapaka Damodamaraj, who used to live next door, was there also. He told the story. And he's walking along with some disciples, and then he stops and he looks up. And he said, how degraded this age of Kali. He said, even in Chandraloka, they are becoming so degraded. And then he just walked on, carried on walking. And Damodamaraj was completely amazed. He said, then we understood the meaning of Jagat Guru. He said, it wasn't just that Prabhupada talks of Jagat, they call him Jagat Guru, they don't leave their village, and then somehow or another they call it Jagat Guru. Radha Madhav. But at least traveling around the world, you can get the title of Jagat Guru. But here, Bhakti Siddhanta, he was thinking literally on the universal scale. We were seeing what goes on in Chandraloka, becoming degraded in Chandraloka. So many of his disciples say he indicated he was going to go to Chandraloka when he left to preach Krishna consciousness. So this is the compassionate nature of his. Because let me see in Prabhupada's own example, that it's like a Japanese. Oh, but like he came here for like a japa, japa walk, practically. And it's fun. We're always talking about Krishna. We're always at the end. And he was just walking around the world, 14 times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And temples will pop up behind him. He's waiting. All things will pop up. Temples and devotees and schools. Prabhupada's just walking around Hare Krishna. It just seems like everything started happening, popping out wherever Prabhupada went, something happened. Started a temple there, went to another place. Devotees would come and get initiated. It seemed like Prabhupada was talking about the japa walk again. Got out of his compassion and established a whole society. So this is the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Here the Lord appears at Pritha Maharaj's function. And of course Krishna is all auspicious. So wherever he appears, whatever happens, everything becomes auspicious for everyone. Yeah. It becomes auspicious. He appears with Indra. Indra stole the horse for the sacrifice. He interfered with the sacrifice. So Krishna came with Indra, and so Indra was apologizing. But we see that so many things happened just because Krishna came down. The Kumaras, he could see the Kumaras. And all these good qualities come out. Indra became very humble. He says that as King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities and fell down before King Prithu to touch his feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy, and he gave up all envy against him for having stolen his horse meant for the sacrifice. So here, such nice dealings. Indra loses his pride or his envy of the king. He said, former hundred, I shall make a sacrifice, he may take my folks in heaven. So he was envious. And naturally, Prithu Maharaj was angry with Indra. I'm the king, I'm the ruler, I can do 100 Yashamaya yogas. Why you're interfering? So they were angry. But immediately they all give up their envy simply by the presence of the Lord. In the Bible, it says Indra fell down because at the lotus feet of King Prithu. But King was so magnanimous of Vaishnava, he did not want Maharaja to fall down at his feet. Instead, Prithu Maharaj immediately picked him up and embraced him. And both of them forgot all the past incidents. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them are Vaishnavas or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust their course of envy. This is the first class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. There is a great need to propagate Krishna consciousness movement in the world. So even people may sometimes become angry and malicious towards each other because of being Krishna conscious. Such rivalry, competition and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. So this is a nice thing about Vaishnava behavior. All these good qualities are developing. They're not envious of each other anymore. They embrace. This is the supreme remedial measure for all problems. The Vaishnavas have that problem. The whole world is always fighting. The Vaishnavas have the solution to that whole problem. Finished. That's it. So if everybody is a Vaishnava and they say you work for a greater cause adjust the cause. So then all the problems can be solved. We have problems, we have, even in the society of devotees, there's problems. But if we, as it says in Prabhupada, if we adjust the cause, you know, why we're all here, we need to serve Krishna. Krishna has a program. Krishna has a program, and our business is to execute that program. If we adjust our cause, that's what we need, then, you know, what are we fighting about? Prabhupada mentioned in yesterday's purport. In other words, when the Lord makes a prediction, he fulfills that prediction through some of his devotees. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted both his glorious names and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra would be broadcast throughout the towns and villages of the world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada desire to fulfill the great prediction, and we are following in their footsteps. So this is a greater cause. We can we have to adjust for the greater cause, the greatest, and that is the desire of the Lord. Our business is to satisfy the desire of the Lord. That's all. This is our goal in life. We have no other ambition. We just have to satisfy the desire of the Lord. And we do that by hearing from, find out what it is the desire of the Lord from the lips of the great devotees of the Lord. So, as Prabhupada mentioned here, that Lord Chaitanya has the desire to spread the holy name in every town and village of the world, and the chanting of the Hare Krishna should go on. So, here is this is, you know, what's happening right here now. The whole temple is coming up. This is the actual depiction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Adhubhuta Mandire, Ekahoyti Prakash, Gauranga Nityase Ekahoyti Prakash. From this temple here, service to Lord Gauranga goes all over the world. How do we serve Gauranga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Main Seva, chanting Hare Krishna. Gauranga Nityasaiva, go right from this one. Look what's happening. It's happening right now, it's coming up. So this is the desire of Lord Chaitanya, manifested through the desire of Srila Prabhupada. Now it's happening, you see. So, we're an ashram, so whenever we have a fight with someone or we have some argument or something is happening, we can see there's a greater cause. What we're doing here, it's happening. Look at the Lord's desire. This is a very glorious project. You get a desire personally from the lips of God himself. It's his desire. Nityananda Prabhu was broadcast. So Nityananda is telling Jiva Goswami, this is the Lord's desire. Then it becomes manifested here. So we should adjust the cause, any problems. You know, why are we all here? We're here to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya. Look at it, it's happening. Why we should spend time arguing about so Pancha Kalapata Bhukshacha Akapashana Vayuta. Yeah, let's get the temple built, let's preach like anything. Gauranga Nityasaiva Vaipa Vikas. From here, everything is going all over the world. So that's the greater cause. So when we have that oneness anyway, we all have the same idea to execute the order of the Lord that's coming through the parampara, through the Prabhupada. So this is very practical, very, very practical. The bricks and cement, it's completely spiritual. It's a construction site, but it's completely spiritual. Because it's the desire of the Lord. Prabhupada said another time, a lecture in Mayapur. He said, actually, this temple is already existing. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he saw that. He saw nothing. He said, but you have to go and build it. You have to go put all the bricks in there and the cement. But it's already existing spiritually. He said, if you don't do it, say someone else will do it later. It has to happen because God's desire. It's the desire of God. It has to happen. It's infallible. His desire is infallible. Whatever Krishna says, it has to happen. It can never be refuted. That's one of the glories of Krishna. Whatever he desires, it has to happen. But he said, you have to build it. If you don't build it, someone in the future will build it. He said, better you build it and you get the credit. He said, just like Krishna, he showed Arjuna the Vishnu, the universal form. He was showing all the soldiers. He saw all the soldiers being killed. Krishna said, look, I've already killed everyone. The battle hasn't begun yet, but I've already killed everyone. Anyway, you be the instrument, Arjuna. You shoot the arrows. You get the credit. If you don't do it, someone else will get the credit. Like the Prabhupada said, like that. You build it, you'll get the credit. Why let someone else get the credit? You build it and you'll get the credit. Okay, anyway, so like this. This is the greatness, the great compassion of the Lord, the great compassion of the Lord's devotees, and the great compassion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have all these stories recorded, and it's all to do with the Lord's compassion. Every story somehow or other, the Lord's compassion is coming through.
Thank you. couple questions, actually. You mentioned that it's Kali Yuga in, on the moon planet, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was looking at the moon planet and say, oh, see how degraded it is. It's degraded. So I was wondering, does Kali Yuga affect the heavenly planets? That's the first question. The second question is...
Mildly.
What?
Mildly.
Say it?
Mildly.
Mildly.
Very mildly. It's not heavy. In the heavenly planets, Kali Yuga is not in heavy clothes. But mildly.
Right, the second question, you often see these pictures of the four Kumaras, and they're with Lord Vishnu.
With
Lord Vishnu. Where do you see Lord Vishnu and the four Kumaras? And we know they walked in, they crossed the Ramajodi, and they walked into the Vaikuntha planet. So,
I think that was the local Vaikuntha planet.
Okay, they went to the local Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, when the universe ends, we know they live for an incredibly long period of time. Would you hear how Lord Brahma has to undergo some kind of death process when the universe ends? I don't know exactly what it is, but something. So do the Kumaras, are their bodies spiritual or are their bodies
towers are bigger than the dog with the cell phone tower. It's not really a boat now. It probably was when it was just a village ship. Anyway, it's going to speak for itself. Aside from that, you're a very astonishing temple. Prabhupada's definition of Adbhut, but he never used the term Adbhut, but he said Prabhupada's transcendental description, mystical description of this temple, that, or Adbhut, his transcendental description of Adbhut Mandir. You European boys and American boys and girls are used to doing something very wonderful. So go to Mayapur and build a skyscraper. Adbhut Mandir. You go to Mayapur and build a skyscraper. So here is as high as the skyscraper. But the idea is, it says it's a specific temple, Adbhut Mandir. And Prabhupada wanted us to build a very, very astonishing temple. Well, which other temples has the universal description of the universe? There is none. In Ajmer there is some little construction. But there's no other, like, you know, a three-dimensional model that it. So this is what it's going to do. It's Adbhut in many ways. It's Adbhut because Radha Madhavan Sakit will be there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be there, Parampara will be there. It's Adbhut that it's showing the whole universe which has never been shown before, practically the three-dimensional state. And nobody's even discussing it, nobody really knows how to discuss it. Some people have information. The Buddhists also have some kind of conception of the universe, the Jains. You know, pretty bona fide, Mount Meru there. But it's just not been revealed before. And so this is what's going to happen. Especially like for Indian people, because they've heard about it vaguely. Now when they go through this and see it all firsthand, it's all true, you know. But our Shastra says we've heard a little bit. So it's going to enliven everyone, especially the. And Prabhupada actually wanted scientists to come from around the world. They should come here and see this. And so that's the idea that we have in Calcutta there, Hari Sivan Prabhupada made one library there. It's specifically for that people. Scientists and others who are scholars who are saying, you know, they're not going to spend $50 million on that fantasy. There must be something in it, but let's see. It's a big thing that they're doing here. There must be something in it. Let's see. We're doing it to disprove it, but they would have facility to study all the Vedic scriptures that speak about it. So it would convince all the scientists and people. So there's all that feature, but I think the most important feature is that Gauranga Nityaseva Vaibhikasha, from this temple, people will be chanting Hare Krishna. It goes all over the world. So you've got the Abos and the Zulus and the Malachas and the Yavanas, all the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's good. That's very good. That's never happened before. That's something very wonderful. All the untouchables are chanting and dancing, chanting Hare Krishna. Very, very exciting.